Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, it's been a wild ride for horse racing in the last couple weeks. Preakness officials have announced that they're allowing the Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit to enter Saturday's race, subject to additional testing and monitoring. The colt failed a drug test after the Kentucky Derby. We've talked about it all week long. Dick Girardi, Philadelphia Daily News fame, and other places, including this radio show, joining us now to talk about it. Dick, what have you made of Bob Baffert and Medina Spirit?
Well, it's been a little chaotic, John, to be to be frank about it. I thought the initial statement that Baffert made on Sunday was generally okay. Not great. There were things I would have changed. At that point, I think his PR people should have gotten him on a plane and sent him back to California, because his other appearances have not really helped anything. And then when the story evolved, if it had just evolved through, like, the lawyer and statements, which that eventually is what came out on Tuesday, then I think we'd have had a better spot where people have a better understanding of what's going on. But, yeah, it's been chaos because the story just keeps changing.
Dick, let me ask you, like, the whispers and questions about Bob Baffert, because we've seen it in other sports. People had whispered about Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, Lance Armstrong. Does that exist in horse racing? When Bob Baffert leaves the room, do people go, what's he doing to win?
Well, yes, it definitely exists. It's interesting, John, you say that. I was thinking back to his second Derby win, which was 1998. I mean, I covered the Derby 31 years in a row for the Daily News, and there were people whispering about him then, because he was kind of an unknown. You know, like, who is this guy? He went from quarter horses. He's only been in thoroughbreds for like 5 years, and he almost won three Derbies in a row. He lost one by a nose, won the other two. So that was around. And then he's had this incredible second act from 2015 till now, where he's won, what, four more Derbies, a couple of Triple Crowns, and just had these horses do amazing things. So, yes, that's been out there. But I would say this. It's been more prevalent with some other trainers, specifically the two that got indicted early last year that were overheard on FBI wiretaps. I think almost everybody in the sport, no one was surprised that that happened, given the performances of some of their horses. Baffert's horses run well, but they don't, you know, they don't get beat 20 lengths one week and win by 20 lengths the next. That's when you know something's going on.
Legendary horse racing writer Dick Girardi with us. You've probably read him over the years in the Philadelphia Daily News and some other places. How bad is this for horse racing? Is it a bad week, or can you spin it positive and go, look, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on the Preakness?
That would be the positive. There's certainly going to be a lot of eyeballs, but no, it's a bad week. Baffert's the most recognizable name in the sport. There's a number of people around the country, a significant percentage, that already have look askance at horse racing. You know, what's going on? Are there drugs involved? Are people cheating? So there was already that. And when it comes out that the biggest name in the game, his horse who won the Derby, tested positive, it can't be anything but bad. And, John, here's the reality. This is a therapeutic drug that is used regularly on horses. It's an anti-inflammatory. It's not generally something that would be considered a gigantic advantage, but the general public isn't going to, there's no nuance here. They just see a horse potentially getting disqualified for a positive drug test, right? There's nothing else anybody needs to see at that point.
Dick, this race now, I'm looking at the post position draw. Medina Spirit drew the three spot. John Velasquez will probably be about where he would like to be coming out of the gates. But how does what we've seen in the last few days affect this race in your mind?
I don't think it's going to affect it at all, other than in this way. I think the odds on Medina Spirit may be a little higher than they should be, because there's going to be some segment of the betting public that is going to think, and then look, they might be right, think that they cheated to win the Derby. I don't necessarily subscribe to the theory that the reason he won the Derby was because he had this anti-inflammatory. So I think that potentially could change, but you're right about where he's going to be. There isn't a lot of other early speed, and as we'll remember, Medina Spirit won the Derby by getting out to the lead, and nobody could ever catch up to him. I think that's the strategy here. Ironically, the second fastest horse in the race is Concert Tour, who also happens to be trained by none other than Bob Baffert. So he's obviously going to have a discussion with his two jockeys, John Velasquez and Mike Smith, who, by the way, if you add up their ages, is 104. Velasquez is 49 and Smith is 55. So that's kind of an interesting sidelight to it. But yeah, I mean, I can't come up with a reason why the Medina Spirit won't run well. It's an easier field than the Derby, fewer horses. And look, he just won the Derby. He's a good horse. He's never run worse than second in six starts.
We're talking to Dick Girardi, legendary horse racing writer. The Preakness coming up this weekend. Give me a horse that you like in the field that's not Medina Spirit.
Midnight Bourbon, number five. There's only three horses back from the Derby into the Preakness this year. Medina Spirit, obviously. Two Keep Me In Mind, who finished seventh and actually ran a little better than that. Midnight Bourbon finished sixth in the Derby, and I thought he ran a lot better than his finish. He was beaten by eight lengths. Unlike Medina Spirit, who got everything kind of his own way, he was out in front, no traffic, nothing. Midnight Bourbon, John, broke terribly. Instead of being first, second, or third early, which is, I think, where they expected to be, they were 11th, and the horse was wide. But he kept trying. He went from 11th to 8th to 6th. And, again, everything was against him. This race, he made a jockey change to Irad Ortiz Jr., who's been the top rider in the country for, like, 3 or 4 years now. And the one thing I can almost guarantee you, that Midnight Bourbon will be in this race from the start. You'll hear Larry Thomas on NBC calling Medina Spirit, Midnight Bourbon, and Concert Tour as the first three out of the gate.
I was trying to wrap my head around what a Derby win is worth and what is at stake. When Medina Spirit won that race, you know, a lot of us think about the purse, but it's really more about stud fees, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really fascinating situation here. This horse was sold for $1,000 as a yearling. His breeder just desperately needed money, was basically trying to give him away so she didn't have to feed the horse anymore. Then was sold for $35,000 as a two-year-old, which, as you know, is pocket change in horse racing. And all of a sudden, he's by a sire who's extremely unfashionable, Protonico. But yeah, he wins the Derby, so he's worth, there's some residual value. Is it as valuable as some other horses that have won the Derby in recent years? Probably not. But what happens if he ultimately gets disqualified, which is the most likely scenario here, as they get the second test back? What happens to his value? First of all, the owner loses the $1.8 million, which is a significant number. Baffert would lose his 10%, so would the jockey. I think it could potentially, the value, because people are going to go, well, you know, how did he win? Not that he won. And others may just say, I don't care. He won the race. I still like him as a stallion. But it's a really interesting concept for the future.
What is, you know, in general, no controversy. Let's just say, you know, Medina Spirit wins the Derby, maybe even wins the Preakness, doesn't win a Triple Crown. But what kind of money can be made after the racing stops?
Yeah, I mean, we've had horses. I think Smarty Jones, my memory is, was syndicated for $40 million. The owners kept some portion of it. So, yeah, I mean, they basically put a value on the horse of $40 million. Secretary, back in 1973, it sounds silly now, was syndicated for $6.8 million, but that was a lot of money in 1973. Some horses go, American Pharoah was even more than that. Some of these numbers are just gigantic. So, yeah, I mean, it's seven figures plus for the really good ones. There just aren't that many of them. I may have described them this way on your show before, John, but they're 1,000-pound lottery tickets is what they are. there's 15 or 20,000 foals a year, and you're hoping you got the one, two, or three of them that not only wins a lot of money on the track, but is worth something afterwards.
10 horses in this field, down from 20 in the Derby. Why such attrition? Why so few Derby participants running here this week?
It's a really phenomenon of, over the last 20 years. Generally speaking, the top trainers with the top horses do not like to run their horses every 2 weeks. And in fact, they don't, except one time, which is the Preakness, because the Triple Crown in modern times has always been these three races in 5 weeks. So what? Two things happen. The 20 horses in the Derby, more than half of the owners realize, you know, when their horse finishes 18th, that he never should have been in the race anyway. So they don't come to the Preakness. And then other horses, in this case, the horses around second, third, and fourth, are all waiting because they think 2 weeks is too fast to come back. I actually think that's silly, because the Derby winner always does so well in the Preakness. But they just, modern trainers just do not run their horses back. So the horses have finished second, third, and fourth. I think we're going to see the third and fourth horses back in the Belmont Stakes. But they will not run Saturday, which is unfortunate. It's just not as good a race as it could be.
You're listening to Dick Girardi, legendary horse racing writer, worked for a long time at the Philadelphia Daily News, knows it inside and out. He's been to about a million Preakness races in a row. Dick, let me ask you, what happens to Bob Baffert's legacy here? If Medina Spirit's disqualified, how much does this hang over his head?
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem. I mean, it's going to be part of anybody that writes about him. Yeah, he won six Derbies, but he had a seventh winner who got disqualified for a positive drug test. So, look, he's going to try to spin it. As I said, it's a legal therapeutic medication that they can use in training. It just can't still be in a horse's blood at the time of a race. So either they were trying to get over on this, or they made a horrible mistake using this fungal cream that had this ingredient in it. I mean, that's just like a rookie mistake, which you wouldn't think would be made from a barn like Baffert's. But, yeah, it's absolutely, John, and I think it's more than likely the horse is going to get disqualified when the second test comes back. It's not often the second test is different than the first. Then they'll hold a hearing. This could take a while. The evidence will get presented, and then my guess is the stewards and the race commission in Kentucky are going to take the race away from him.
I saw initially, you know, 5 positive tests for Baffert horses in 13 months. How rampant is this in horse racing?
His numbers are high, especially for a guy with his stable. And I think if this had happened in isolation without the other stats you just cited, I don't think this would be. It'd be a big deal because it's a Derby winner. It wouldn't be as big a deal because they go, all right, well, maybe there just was a mistake made. But he had another horse, Gamine, test positive for the exact same thing 9 months ago after she ran third in the Kentucky Oaks, although he did admit afterwards, yes, we gave it to her. We thought we gave it to her far enough before the race that it would have been out of her system. This case, they said we didn't even give it to the horse. Now they're coming up with this cream thing. It could be true. It's certainly on the label, but I can't believe they gave it to the horse knowing this other drug, betamethasone, is illegal. The problem is, John, that there's been too many of them in the last year. None of them what you would call major performance enhancers, not like a nerve blocker, not something that's potentially really cruel to the horse, but it's illegal. That's the bottom line. You just can't do it, and it keeps happening.
Yeah, you hit on something there, Dick, that, you know, you would expect this if, you know, if me and a couple buddies were training horses, we make a mistake. But with Bob Baffert, I got to think that horse is not eating, ingesting, being exposed to anything that they don't know about.
Yeah, either they've gotten incredibly sloppy in the number one barn in the country. And you know what, John? People get successful. Sometimes they don't work as hard, right? And he's been getting these great horses, and maybe they're just not as scrupulous about doing things as they used to be. That's a possibility. It's interesting because Baffert said before the Breeders' Cup last fall, look, we're changing our methods. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to make sure this stuff doesn't happen again. Not only does it happen again, it happens with the Derby win. So, yeah, it's just bizarre. If, in fact, this was an honest mistake, man, I mean, you're talking about, as you said, millions of dollars, a Derby win, a record 7th Derby win, all taken because they wanted to use a cream to clean up a skin condition? I mean, that's crazy.
Dick Girardi, I appreciate you. Thank you for bringing your expertise. Hopefully we'll talk to you before the Belmont.
Sounds good, John. Always great talking to you.
Dick Girardi, there he is. Philadelphia Daily News legend. He's giving us midnight bourbon. Are you drinking it? Leave it here. Go to GoldenOakLending.com. Take advantage of low interest rates. Golden Oak Lending has been helping a lot of BFT listeners. Take advantage. Those interest rates can be as low as 2.25% still. You can use the Zipline Mortgage Portal at GoldenOakLending.com, and you can get a mortgage expert who speaks the mortgage language on your side. Really, it's a language unto itself when it comes to the mortgage business. GoldenOakLending.com. Go there, take advantage of it, model your loan. If you want to take some cash out or lower your interest rate, Golden Oak Lending can help you. GoldenOakLending.com. LeBron James has tweeted today. It is the subject of our Culligan Water Cooler Report.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
About 6 minutes ago, LeBron tweeted, "Getting close, but I won't be in the lineup tonight. But more importantly, I will be there to put that championship, all caps, banner in the rafters at Staples Center in front of our fans." Hashtag number 17, Peter Sampson. What's LeBron saying?
Well, I think he's just saying he's doing it for the fans. I mean, I don't know that there's necessarily a hidden message there, is there? Am I missing it?
Not in the lineup. I guess he's going to continue to get healthy. But, the banner going up, they've got 17 championships. I want to know about championship number 18, championship number 19.
Yeah, I don't know if those are on the horizon anytime soon, John.
Basically, LeBron's saying, "I will have no points, no assists, no rebounds tonight for the Lakers." How much trouble are the Lakers in?
A lot of trouble. And AD, he's been performing really well since he came back, but he got banged up again. And without one of those guys, let alone both, the Lakers are in a world of hurt right now.
So Rockets at Lakers tonight. That's a winnable game, though, for the Rockets. Are just, they're not a, that's not a great basketball team.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.